This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Jeremy Wiggins joins us now. Jeremy is the project manager for Your Community Health. So he joins myself, Macca, and Madeline on Saturday Magazine. Now, Jeremy, we want to talk about Your Community Health runs or helps auspice a whole lot of health services, particularly for trans and gender diverse Victorians. Tell us about that.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. And I hope everyone out there, particularly Malvernians, are enjoying the sunny day and not being in lockdown.
Yes.
That's right. I work at Your Community Health. I also work at Ballarat Community Health as well. So it's a statewide transgender health program, and we're funded by the Victorian government to run trans and gender diverse and non-binary health services for people aged over 18. Mm-hmm. That includes access to GPs, peer navigators. So it's a new model for Australia. We're the first funded model to have a peer navigator where people of lived experience with skills in navigating the health system and qualifications can support people who are new to the process and open up pathways for them and make referrals into GPs, psychologists, mental health support, endocrinology, even dental. So the benefit of our program being embedded in community health is that our services are free, so there's no cost for people. We're able to get people into services within weeks rather than within years compared to some of the other services because they're just overwhelmed with high numbers and their wait lists are quite long. And also we're able to create some change around other areas of health and wellbeing. So we can provide wraparound services around alcohol and drugs, counselling, dental, physiotherapy, a whole range of things. And that's the fantastic part about our service being part of community health is that there are more options for people to get all sorts of their needs met.
So it's not just, you know, one particular health discipline. You can actually, you know, people are able to, you know, deal with a whole range of different health challenges and issues. Almost, well, I won't call it a one-stop shop, but it's good that, you know, because it's community health-based, you're going to be able to really help trans and gender-diverse folk to access these services. I think that's really important.
Well, it is. And being a transgender man myself who transitioned over 15 years ago through more of an older system since that experience of having to go to psychiatrists and I had no other option. There was only one pathway at that time, really, and that was to have to go and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars to see psychiatrists to undergo a psychiatric evaluation and be formally diagnosed and to see multiple people to be able to get my letters of approval just to start hormone therapy or it was a fairly difficult, invasive and uncomfortable experience. And so from that experience, and many other people have had that experience as well, me and many of my other fellow advocates and colleagues and many of the healthcare professionals in this space have been committed to continue to reform how we work with our communities to make sure that they can access healthcare on their own terms and that it's a better experience and that the people are enjoying the experience and feeling well supported instead of feeling scrutinized and judged. So that's what we refer to as the informed consent model. And I co-authored that model with Dr. Pauline Kundal and introduced that about 4 years ago into Australia. And the Victorian government embedded that model into this new program, which they funded for us to set up two multidisciplinary clinics, one in Ballarat and one in Preston. So we're able to provide services to anyone in Victoria. And we opened only a few months before COVID hit, which was interesting.
Right.
But it didn't slow us down at all. In fact, we ended up seeing well over 500 patients in our first year, and over 20% of them are from regional and remote Victoria. And because we went into lockdown, it meant that health services adapted and became more sophisticated to ramp up their telehealth services. So we were still able to meet the needs of people and help them on their way and get their journey started around whatever their goals were with regard to their gender affirmation process. We're really pleased to see some of the results so far from our interim evaluation report. And our team is growing bigger and we're employing many transgender diverse people. And we have governance groups and committees with transgender diverse people that are paid to contribute to the development and co-design of our service. And generally, overwhelmingly, people are highly satisfied.
Jeremy, I had about four or five questions for you, and you've just ticked them off one by one there, so you just answered them all. But I will ask, are you still mostly doing telehealth now that the restrictions are, or are people coming in person now?
People are coming back in face-to-face, but there is still the option for telehealth. We just have to follow the guidelines of Medicare. And at this, and unfortunately, they actually keep changing the guidelines, which is frustrating for services. I think we will definitely retain telehealth services. I've always thought if we're going to be able to meet the needs of community members all across Victoria with such little resources and little small amount of clinics, we're going to need to utilise telehealth as much as possible.
And so how are you getting referrals? Is the public health system sending people to you? How are you getting the word out about the services you offer?
What is always the most common way that people find out about our service is through word of mouth. The community are always very good at referring to each other. Online social support groups, that's the main way that people find out. Otherwise, referrals, I've done a lot of work with primary health networks, developing their health pathways, so any GP across Victoria can look at how to support people, and we're listed as one of the services. Other services are aware of us, so yeah, we've always got more promotion to do, but we haven't wanted to do too much, otherwise we would end up with long wait lists as well. But at this stage, we are growing well. We're supporting the community. People know about us. People are finding out about us. We're happy with the way things are going.
Sounds very positive. Really good.
Look, it's great to talk to you. And look, I'm sorry we have actually run out of time, Jeremy. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. If anyone out there wants to access our services, just go to yourcommunityhealth.org.au.
Great.
And go to the service access page and can register for our services, and that will get you into Ballarat or Preston, and we can help anyone out there.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. And
thank you.
Enjoy the day.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.